A short video clip before we start. Sorry, Armel.
I want us to do for exercise. Just do this. It looks great. Do you know that you're hugging Jesus? Because he lives in you. Huh? You've never heard that one, huh, Roz? It's a strange, funny church, this, eh? Okay, so quickly, because Jesus is in us. Do you know that if I walk into you, one of the revelations God gave me, when I walk into a room, I change the atmosphere in that room because Jesus is in me. Every one of you do that. When you work with people in the occult, I was reading his book, and this guy was working with a girl in the occult. He said, the occult lady said, I could see the Christians. Like there was light or something on them. She could see, literally, she could see the power in them. And she was afraid of them because she knew that they had more power than she had, but they couldn't do it. They couldn't utilize that power because they didn't know that Jesus was living in them. So that's the first and most important point, is that Jesus lives in all of you. In all of you. Like Michelle over there. Wait to say Michelle. Michelle? Elf. Michelle is, so it's Elf Yorit. And when she walks into a room with a bunch of Satanists and she says, hey, Jesus loves you, they're going to go like, that's so powerful. Why? Because Jesus lives in it. Not because the daddy is E.T. That's his name, his nickname. But because Jesus is in her. Okay, so you expose people just by being with them. Make friends, love people. We're going to look at an acronym called it's START. And this is basically how you're going to expose yourself. You're going to die to your flesh so that the Jesus in you can get out. Okay, this is basically how to grow in the Spirit. So the first one is stop trusting in yourself and your own good works, and start trusting in Christ alone for salvation. You can't yourself red me. You can't save yourself. So that's where we start. You start with stop trying to save yourself. If you're going to try and save yourself, maybe you're going to read your Bible more, maybe you're going to pray more, maybe you're going to come to church, but that's not the way. We say, Jesus, I can't. There's so many times in a day I'm like, Jesus, I can't, but through you I can do all things. So that's where we start. So we want to get Jesus out there. Okay. Okay. So the second one is, turn away from everything the Bible calls sin. It sounds stupid. But many times when you read the Bible, like, wow, I'm doing this. I'm gossiping. I've done this. Or I'm into sexual immorality if you're watching porn. Hey, just turn away from it. Say, God, I'm not saving me. You are saving me. Because what... Like, I was addicted to pornography when I was 20, 21. And the thing that it did is it kept Jesus inside, because I'm like, wow, I'm not going to share myself. I'm not going to be vulnerable in front of people. I'm not going to share who Jesus is because I'm afraid that he's going to kill me because I'm so filthy. So just turn away. So T, turn away. And if you can share this with a friend, I had a friend, I shared everything with him and said, hey, help me to turn away. 2 Timothy 2:19, there's a bunch of sins listed there. Just go there, like, I'm going to turn away from this, I'm going to turn away from this, I'm going to turn away from this. And Jesus will help you. Okay, third one, very important. Attend a small group for personal discipleship and weekly worship services. Luke has an amazing small group. Donnie and Francois is an amazing small group. I have an amazing small group. The family over there, they're going to join an amazing small group this week. They've already signed up. Okay, there's so many amazing things that you can learn. You just get together with a bunch of crazy people. You're going to like ask questions. I remember Noah coming to Luke's small group, and Noah said, wow, it's amazing. He can ask questions. Because Luke's a wise man. And Hebrews 10 verse 25 says, don't neglect the gathering of the saints. That's actually what the Bible says. Don't neglect. So come to a worship service. Because you want to expose yourself to people that has Jesus in them. And like, wow. And it's this funny thing. The more you expose you to people that have Jesus in you, in them, you're like, you become like Jesus. It's like going to the gym. If you ever Like you, suddenly in the beginning you're like, oh, scary naked guys in that in the bathrooms. And then after a while you're like, wow, you're also flexing your muscles in there and stuff. You're just becoming like them. If you're gonna hang with people that constantly belittle Jesus or whatever, you're gonna become like them. But now we have the opportunity, and that's what we love, creating those opportunities. Okay, so R stands for attend. Okay. For the Afrikaans, Ben, he's again. Okay, this is bywoon, Ben, verstaan it. Okay. And then read and obey your Bible every day. Read and obey your Bible every day. Just read it and obey it. And one of the things that God's going to challenge us through this month, if you haven't been baptized, Bible says, Peter, they ask Peter, hey, what should we do to get saved? He says, repent and be baptized. If you read that, you're like, okay, wow, easy. Let's go and get wet. Huh? Pool party, end of the month. Okay, great. Then the fifth one, I'm going fast, but go and maybe take a photo of it and go and read those scriptures. All of them are powerful. Fifth one, probably the thing that really helped me the most to get Jesus out there is tell others about your new relationship with Christ. So you're not telling them, teaching them about the Bible. You're not saying, hey, you know what, the Antichrist, this is what the Antichrist, 666, this is what it stands for. No, you're not going like that. You're like, hey, this is what Jesus did in my life. Hey, I was in this church and somebody gave me a word, and wow, so weird, but it just resonated. Something in my heart said, yes. You're communicating about Jesus, and God loves inhabiting the praises of his people. And that also, the praises also, it's speaking of him. Okay, when I speak about my wife, I'm praising her, and she inhabits those praises. People form a picture of who she is, and they love her because I'm praising her. My wife is hot, and they get this picture of a hot wife. Okay, she hacked my Instagram over the weekend, and then she posted a photo of herself and say, hey, this is my wife, and she's so hot, and she's amazing. And okay, but I love her. Okay, so do those, start, and the Jesus that you hugged will get out there, and people will meet Jesus.
So, Amu, you mentioned that when you go and talk to people, you're talking about what Jesus has done for you. See, he's not just a pretty face, he's quite clever as well. You got it. So, how important is it when you're sharing Jesus with other people, is your own story? I agree. I think my wife's hot too. I think just to move on, I think there's a very clear, you know, walk the walk kind of message coming through here. So if I want to expose Jesus inside of me, there's a message of I've got to practice what I'm preaching, right? But tell me, Amu, where's the line between, you know, being a good Christian in front of people and then coming to the point where I actually got to say something now? You know what I mean? But we're interceding for you. Thank you. Yeah, it reminds me of a friend of mine. His name was Alex Dunford, and if you met him, he wasn't a Christian guy. But if you met him, you'd know exactly what he loved, and what he loved was motorcycles, and that's what he did every Sunday. He had some Honda 1000cc thingamabob. I don't know motorbikes. But he loved it, and you knew that he loved it because that's all he talked about. I think there's something that Amu said that was really important, is that it's easy to say, well, I'm going to just live this lifestyle, and people are going to be attracted to my lifestyle. But isn't it fair enough to say that if we really love this thing, if I really like motorbikes, what am I going to talk about? Motorbikes. If I know Ben is really passionate about game farming, because when I sit down and talk to him, all he talks about are these bookies that he got at a really good price, and the fencing, and his own farm that he's got back home. And I'm like, okay, Ben, that's cool. You know, I know what Ben is passionate about because he talks about it, right? Okay. So next question is then, when is the right time? And for that, you need a particular skill, and that skill is you need to be able to hear the voice of God, right? So it's easy to say, okay, I must talk to God, now I must back off and be friends, and it gets very confusing. So what is the standard? What is the determining factor? It's very simple. In all things, be obedient to the Holy Spirit. In order to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, you have to know what he's saying, right? Jesus said, as my Father does in heaven, so I do also. It was as simple as that. He also said, if you love me, you'll do what I say. The implication is obedience. So how do I hear the voice of God? So let's open this question to the floor and stick up your hands. Different ways that you know God speaks. Hands up. Yes, Craig. Audibly, okay, great. Visions, dreams, fantastic. Anybody else? Donnie? Through his word, the Bible, great. See, these aren't trick questions. This is very simple. Anybody else? Yes, Francois at the back. Sorry? The Bible, okay, yeah. Through people. Dreams, great. Situations, great. Circumstances, teaching your lessons. Prophecy, that's a great one as well. Mark. No, I'm saying God speaks to me through Mark because Jesus lives inside of him. Alma, what would you like to add to this? We take no responsibility for what Amos says. Great. So I thought we'd make this practical. So when I was at Ken McCaw on Tuesday, I met a couple that was there. They just happened to be here tonight. Great. Hey guys. Oh, Johan and Iti and Miranda. You can say hello to them afterwards. But when I met them for the first time, this is what God said to me. I said, we have a prophet and we have a teacher here. I said, God, why do you say that? I said, because we have somebody who understands the necessity for prophecy. And we have someone who loves the word of God. And the thing is that it requires boldness. I never told them that I'm going to say this, and I actually don't know if what I'm saying is right or wrong. But there's an element of boldness. And I might be wrong, okay? So I'll hear from them afterwards. We're not going to try it out now, because otherwise they'll embarrass me in front of everybody. But there's something about trusting in God's word, first and foremost. And if we're going to teach people to hear the word of God, the first thing that we need to teach them is boldness, that it's okay to get things wrong. You understand what I'm saying? So we're going to practice something now, okay? It's the one way to answer this question about how do we teach people to hear God's voice. It's very simple. You got to do it. So we're going to do it very practically now. Okay, so we're going to turn two people to each other, two by two, preferably somebody that you don't know. Okay, so married people, not with each other, spread out through the room. Just make sure it's somebody that you don't know very well. Come on, up, let's go. Okay, settle down. Okay, so we're going to do something very practical. We got 2 minutes, so a minute per person, okay? And we're not going to get like overly spiritual and this is crazy, and it's very simple. Yeah, you're going to pray. First, one person is going to go, then the other person is going to go. I'm going to time you with my phone, so I'm going to say, okay, minutes over, then you're going to switch. You're going to pray a very simple prayer. You say, God, show me something about this person, okay? And the first thing that comes to your head, the first thing that pops into your head, you're going to share with the other person. As long as it's encouraging, okay? Not like, Amu, the Lord said you're going to lose a leg tonight. Something along those lines. Does that sound accurate? Okay, yeah. If it's encouraging, okay. We're not here to say bad things about you. So, nothing about Ruan's drug problem. I don't want to hear anything about that. Okay, sorry, Ruan. Didn't mean to expose you there. Okay, so 1 minute. One person is going to go and you say, God, show me something about this person. And the first thing that pops into your head, you're going to share. And then you're going to get feedback if it's encouraging. Thank you, Mark. And then after a minute, you're going to swap. Okay. Does this sound scary to you? Good. Okay. This is where we practice it. I can tell you, a few of you are going to get this wrong. Okay. But that's okay. The amount of times I've given words to people and the amount of times I've gotten them wrong, it's amazing. Who was that guy, Amu, who said, that guy who said, you know, about raising people from the dead? He said something along the lines of, I only raised my first person from the dead after I prayed for 99 people to be raised from the dead. Something like that, yeah. So, practice, determination, putting yourself out there, boldness, and trusting that you hear from God, okay? That you have Jesus inside of you and you have the ability to hear God's voice, okay? Okay, so, hang on, I'm going to get my countdown timer out. Wait. Okay, are you ready? 1, 2, 3, go! Got 15 seconds left. Okay, time is up. Okay, how was that? Was that good? Did we get anything meaningful here? Yeah, okay. If your partner said something really good to you, stick up your hand. Okay, great. Okay, we've got quite a few hands going up. That's good. Okay, switch. The next person, on your marks, get set, go. Fifteen seconds. Great. Okay, now the reverse. If your partner said something amazing, stick up your hand. Okay. Who was blessed? Who was blessed? Okay. Now I want some honest hands. Who felt that before this moment, okay? Who felt before this moment, before you didn't feel like you could do this, and afterwards you feel encouraged, like, wow, I can do this. Who felt like that? Yeah? Some good hands. Okay, great. And this is basically how we teach people to hear the voice of God. It's boldness. Right? Great. Okay. Now we're going to go into the last bit. And this is the fun part, because, like I said, Omu and I are tired of preaching. So we're going to get you guys to do the sermon. Remember I heard that, you heard that I gave you that piece of paper, okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to divide the hall into four parts, okay? And if you noticed, there's four steps on that piece of paper, and each group is going to get a step, okay, that you have to prepare a 3-minute message on with those instructions. Okay, 2 minutes. Okay, just wait. First, I'm going to divide everybody up into their groups. Okay, so let's say, it's four groups, so you're going to have to be a bit bigger. Okay, so you four guys and you four guys. And then all the ladies over here, this is fantastic. Okay, so move into a circle, move that side. So guys, you're group one. Guys, you're group one. Girls over here, you're group two. Okay, and then we're going to have group three over here. So everybody this side, Omvani. Okay, you guys are group three. And you guys are group four. Okay, great. Okay, so listen up. Okay, so you, on that piece of paper, at each step, there are different verses, okay? So you need to use those verses for your message, okay? And you're going to be talking about those steps, okay? So step one, for example, let me just get my piece of paper out. Step one, you guys are going to be talking about God's love, okay? And within that, you have to nominate a spokesperson, okay? You have to nominate somebody who's going to read the scripture verses. Okay, ladies, just listen up. And you have to nominate somebody that's going to tell a joke. Okay, and you have to fit this all into 2 minutes, okay? Okay, so not everybody has to talk, but you need to get someone who's going to do the main message, someone who's going to do the scriptures, and somebody who's going to do the joke, okay? And you can do it in whatever order you like, okay? So group one, you're going to be talking about God's love. Group two, you're going to be talking about what is the problem. Group three, you're going to be talking about what is God's solution. And group four, you're going to be talking about what is our reaction to that. Okay, so now we're talking about the gospel message here, if you haven't gotten that. Okay, but everybody, you've got 3 minutes to prepare, and then we're going to start. And group one, you're up first. Ask the guys who are in the student small group. We did something very similar a few weeks back. They can help you out. And remember, the group with the worst message gets thrown out of the church. That's a joke. And you can't use that one for your message. Guys, I have 2.5 minutes. There's a countdown up, just in case you're wondering how much time you have. One more minute. Thank you very much. I hope you guys are ready. Who's ready? Okay, great. Okay, group one, are you guys ready? Okay, we'll give you 30 more seconds. Okay, that's enough. Quieten down. Group one, can you send your people up to come do the first message? Sure. We anointed the preacher and first go, eh? Sure, come. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let's give our respects to group one.
It's the first thing they do. Hello, my name is Raj, and they just chuck the Indian in at the first go. So let's get it over with. Yeah, okay. We're talking about God's love, and the first verse. Oh man, I think I lost all the other pages, but it's okay. Never mind. The first one is Jeremiah 31, verse 3, which says that the Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. I will build you up again, and you, virgin Israel, will be rebuilt. And then the next verse is John 3, verse 16. Who knows John 3, verse 16? Somebody say John 3, verse 16, please. Thank you very much, Keith. Give it up for Keith, everyone. Woo! Yeah, yeah. And the last one is 1 John 4, verse 16, which, sorry, Craig, I lost the page, man. Which page was it? Okay, Don is going to read from there. I don't have a joke though, so I'm gonna pass it on to the guy who owns the bokeh and the fences and stuff, so he can tell you the joke. So
I'm gonna try to read in English. No, that is a joke.
I think we can safely confirm after that talk that God loves us. Amen? Thanks, guys. You guys did a great job. Okay, group two. Send up your ladies. Why don't the spokesperson, the scripture readers, and the joke tellers all come up here? Come, give them a round of applause.
Okay, so my joke is in Afrikaans. I hope that's all right. Okay, so, hoe lank was Goliath? Tot hy skoon is. Did it.
I'm English, so I don't get that. Okay, so I'm just gonna... Okay, so... Our first scripture is Romans 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. And the second one is Isaiah 59, verse 2. Let's see. Okay. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. That's it.
Okay. Okay, so the word out of that is the big problem is that we are all born in sin. But you don't have to tell someone that they're a sinner, they know. You know that you need God and you need that. There's this hole in your heart, and you need God to fill that. And I also think the big problem is you're afraid to get hurt. And I mean, everyone has gone through something that they got hurt, or a false sense of the gospel. And where you also feel like, but where's the catch? Everything in life is you have to do something to get something. But now we live in this grace of God just giving his love and his grace and his mercy freely to us. So, yeah. Good.
Thank you, Kathy and team. Give a round of applause to the girls. They did a fantastic job. So, we've got this issue. God loves us a lot, right? But then there was sin. Go back. Not there yet. Then there was sin. So we got God's love on one side, and we got us on the other side, and there's this big chasm, and it's not so great anymore. There's a separation, right? So we want to get to God. By man's own sin, we've been separated by God. God is love. So, up to talk about the solution to this big dilemma, group three, give them a round of applause. Send up your speakers, your scripture readers, your jokers, bring them all up. Give them some respect. Listen them out.
Away. So ours was all about what's the solution, eh? So Sitembe, eh? I can't pronounce. He's gonna read the first scripture.
Hello everyone. I know my name is a bit difficult to call, but you can call me Tembi if that's all right with you. Just to cut it short for you, because I know it's a bit Zulu. Right. I'm gonna.
It's not the joke.
Okay. I'm gonna read the first verse, 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 18. It goes, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit.
Okay, so the second verse is Romans 5 verse 8. It says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then John 14 verse 6 says, Jesus answered, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So basically, in short, the solution is Jesus.
So right. So right, one Sunday evening, they had a church service, and one of the guys was asked to give a testimony, and a guy comes up, he's like, I'm a millionaire right now. And he's like, where my faith turned was, I made my first dollar, Wall Street, obviously, and I came to church that evening, and they asked to give tithes and offerings, and I had to think for myself, am I going to give my first dollar? I mean, come on, this is my first dollar. And he gave his first dollar. Everyone clapped and they were so impressed. Amazing, good man. And he went to sit and the old lady next to him said, I dare you to do it again.
Oh, hectic. Okay, group three ending off on a bombshell. Give them a round of applause, please. So thank you. I'm very relieved that we have a solution to this big problem. We found out God loves us a lot. We found out that we're separated from God by our own sin, but don't fret. Jesus made a plan. He bridged this chasm. He died. His sins cover this chasm, and we now have free access to God's love. Amen. So how do we respond to this? To talk about that, group four, yeah! Woo! They're going to come talk to us. What is our response to this message? Thank you, group four. We wait with eager anticipation.
Can we close our eyes? Hi, everyone. Can you please come close? Can you please first read the verses?
If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then Acts 2:38, Peter replied, each of us must repent of our sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. So, what actually we have found out of that is that everyone thinks is right when he's doing right. But the sin in human flesh is always there. But you will realize that by the day you start to feel like, God, I just need to know who am I in you. Because the sin will be stayed in the presence of the law. But the only way to be free from that is to start to see what God has for you in the store. So God loves you. God loves you. So like when we said, Peter, you must repent, and Peter said you must repent and be baptized, it's like you must come back to the thoughts that God has for you, because God has high thoughts for you. So repenting is about going back to what God is thinking about you and going into the pool. Yeah, it's by like you are. It's a sign in the flesh that you are repenting, so that people can see, so that you can hear the joke that JH is going to make. Yeah.
20 seconds. Okay, this guy and his family is on holiday in Israel, and so on that time he's with his stepmom. His stepmom dies in Israel, and he's forced with this problem. He has to pay 5,000 rand to ship her back to South Africa. Oh no, he has to pay 5,000 rand to ship her to Africa, or he pays 2,000 rand to bury her in Israel. So the guy comes to him and he asks, so what's your decision? You're going to bury her here, or you're going to ship her to Africa? And he says, no, I'm going to ship her to Africa, because 2,000 years ago somebody got buried here and he raised again from the dead.
What a champion. Okay. Hopefully your lady friends, mothers don't hear that one. Okay. Thank you, Group 4, for clarifying what is our response. So we've gone full circle here through the gospel message. So we go back to the question, how do we share the gospel with somebody? In summary, okay? We need to let them understand that God loves us. He loves us a lot. Okay? And when he created the world, he created it perfect, and he created perfect just for us. Okay? And then by man's own sin, we were separated from God. There's this problem. But God, in his mercy, decided that he's going to make a plan, okay? I've been asked, like, okay, well, if Adam and Eve are the ones that sinned, why do I have to pay the consequence? Because if God was good and if God was just, he would have killed Adam and Eve on the spot right there, okay? But in his goodness and in his justice, he decided to make a plan. So he decided to let them live, which means that every person to come from Adam and Eve is... their lives are forfeit, because Adam and Eve should have been killed on the spot, right? But God is merciful, so he makes a plan, okay? And you can go read the Old Testament. There's a few God making plans and people rejecting these plans until God said, okay, I'm going to do something about this myself. I'm going to send Jesus, and he's going to bridge this gap. He's going to be the ultimate sacrifice, and he's going to die for your sins. Okay? And these verses that I've given you, I encourage you to go home and memorize these scriptures. Okay? These are great scriptures when you're talking to somebody about the gospel. Okay? I like the girls explained, is that everybody can identify with the fact that they're not great people, that they have sinned. It's one thing that we know to be true. Okay, you talk to anybody of any walk in life, and they know that they have messed up somewhere along the lines. But there is a plan, and this plan is the name of Jesus Christ. And he shed his blood, and he gives us an opportunity for salvation. But just because he gives us, okay, just because he gives us this opportunity does not mean that we're automatically saved. Because as much as God loves us, he loves us so much that he gave us free will. And that free will requires us to choose him or to not choose him. He doesn't want robots. He doesn't want to force you to love him. He's not going to make you do what you don't want to do. Okay? He wants you to choose him out of your own will. And that's where the response comes in. So God throws out this lifeline. You're busy drowning there, and he throws this out. He throws out this lifeline, and you don't have to grab it if you don't want to. Okay, you can carry on drowning there if you want. It's up to you. Okay? God's a gentleman. He's not going to force you into heaven if you really don't want to go there. So it requires a response from you. It requires repentance. Does anybody know what repentance means? It comes from the word metanoia. 180 degrees. It literally means I'm going in this direction and I turn 180 degrees and I go in the other direction. It's not even implying that I'm on the wrong path. It's saying that I'm on the path. I'm just going in the complete opposite direction. So I'm going this way towards death and destruction, and I repent. I respond to God's message. He says, here's my son. He's died for your sins, and I choose to turn away, and I choose to look at you. And there's something that you also need to imply. It's not said here, but there's an aspect of counting the cost. Okay? Where there are other organizations, secret organizations. If you want to talk conspiracy theories, go talk to Fani. But the idea of secret organizations is that as you go on into the organization, you find out more secrets and you find out more and more of what you're getting yourself into. Right? Christianity is upfront with you from the beginning. It says, you are going to get persecuted from the beginning. This is going to require you to give up everything. This is going to require you to die to yourself. And it's upfront about that from the beginning. There's no hidden agenda. Here is salvation, and it's going to cost you your life. Yes or no? It's free, but it's going to cost you your life. Yeah? And this is what, when we talk to people about the gospel, this is what we talk about. And they want to know why, with all these hectic costs, the costs that we have counted, I have the privilege to work in a church with some amazing volunteers, and I see them lay down their lives day in and day out. And I want to, and if I was not a Christian, I want to know why do you choose to lay down your life week in and week out for people you've never met before? Why do you want to drive to Sarsfeld all the time to go pick up people you've never met to bring them to church? Why do you want to set up the coffee for people you've never met? Why do you want to do sound? Why do you want to play in the band for people that you've never met before? And not only that, you haven't met it, but the only thing that you're going to get in return is probably persecution from the outside. Loss of friends, friends looking at you weird, your parents looking at you weird, society thinking that you're not that clever, that you're ignorant, that you're arrogant, or a bad combination of both. What is the payoff? They want to know why. That's where your testimony comes in. The reason why I do what I'm doing, not to blow up my own order, but it's because I know what Jesus did for me. And I know what he saved me from. And that's what I want for each and every one of you here today. There's no argument that you have that I have not thought about. I have counted the cost. And I want you guys to be in heaven with me one day. I want all of you. I do not want to leave any one of you behind. I love you guys a lot. And I know that Jesus loves you guys a lot. And there's a very simple prayer over here. And I want us all to stand. On this piece of paper, if you don't have a piece of paper, just stand next to one of your neighbors. these prayers, most of you guys in this room have said a prayer very similar to this one. And this is just an example that you can use yourself. But these prayers are very open and very honest if you take them seriously. I must say that when I first did mine, I just said it and I didn't think about it much, but I've come back to what I've actually said in this prayer, and I want to do it with you guys tonight as well. And if this is the first time you're saying this prayer, you don't have to say it, but I encourage you to do so. I know that my life can change, and I know that your life can change as well. That's all I want to say. And I dare you. I dare you to take that step. I dare you to lay down your life. I'm going to read this out, and I want everybody in the room to read it with me. It's great coming back to this prayer. It's great counting the cost. It's a great thing to remind ourselves what it's all about. It doesn't get more simple than this. So I'm going to pray, and let's all just read it together. Lord, I come to you as a sinner. I repent of all my sins. I deny myself, my will, my dreams, my desires, my choices, my rights, my whole life. I die to myself so I can be born again as a new creation, a totally new person. I choose to follow you and do your will. I submit to you as my King and receive you as my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, that I am now forgiven, that my sins are removed. Father, I commit to love you with my whole heart, my whole soul, my whole mind, and all my strength. You are my first love. I love you more than anything or anyone. I am yours. You are mine. Thank you, Father, that I am now your child. Jesus, I just want to thank you for your salvation. It is such a precious thing, Father. Father, I just want to thank you for each and every single person here tonight, Lord Father God. I'm going to ask something very bold, but if that is the first time that you've prayed this prayer, or the first time that you've meant praying this prayer, or if you're at a bad spot and you prayed it as a recommitment, I just want you to stick up your hand because we want to pray with you tonight. I just want you to be bold and stick up your hand. I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but the thing is that we're family. And I love you guys. And I want to pray for you and I want to bless you. So if you'd let me have that privilege, I'd just like you to stick up your hand where you are. Thank you. I see those hands. You can put them down. Lord Jesus, I just want to pray your blessing over every single person. I just want to thank you for my brothers and my sisters in this room tonight, Father. I just want to thank you, Lord Father God, that you love all of them, Lord Father God. You love them with a love that I could never understand, Father. Father, you're basically shouting at them, I love you. Father, we just thank you that there's this amazing plan that you've made. And it's a plan that just shows your patience and your utter dedication to get to our hearts. It's a plan that spanned the countless thousands of years, Lord Father God. A master plan to redeem everybody, Lord Father God. I just feel that God's saying to you tonight that he has chosen you. He has not rejected you. and I say that you are a son of God to that rejection. That he has called you from the furthest corners of the earth to be here tonight. There are no coincidences in the kingdom of God. Your being here is not a coincidence. You are valued. You have value. God just doesn't want to say that he loves you and that he's proud of you. He is. But he's saying, I want you to conquer. Satan, who's had his foot on your head, I'm going to change the stakes now. I want you to be at a place where you're trampling on the snakes and the scorpions. Luke 10 verse 29 says, I've given you the authority to trample on the snakes and scorpions, to go up against the gates of hell itself and not be afraid. God is saying that I'm giving you that authority. I don't want you here to sit and have a good time. I want you to conquer. I want you to be more than conquerors. To those people who felt like they didn't have a voice and were told to shut up, God is saying, you have a bigger voice. I give you a bigger voice. To the people struggling with joy, God says, I have more joy for you. To the people struggling with fear, God says, courage, overwhelming courage I've given you. To the people struggling with depression, God says, I have given you peace, peace in your mind. Peace that overcomes. Not peace as the world gives, but peace as I give. John 14, verse 27, I do not give as the world gives. Peace I give you, my peace I leave with you. For those who got to go, I want to say thank you very much for coming. I want to say that you are blessed. I want you to have a great week. Not just a great week, I want you to conquer during the week. Amen. Tests, exams,